The cattle are lowing. Are you lowing like a cow? Do you just pretty much do what you're told to do? Are you the kind of person that although your life isn't the way you want it to be, all you do is kind of mumble and groan and say, I wish life were better. And then you just go on about your life because you figure it's too hard to fight, it's too hard to be different. It's much easier just to do what everybody else is doing, to comply. You'll have more friends if you dress like them. You'll have more friends if you adopt their same attitudes, even if they're cruel or mean to others. Well, that's what we're talking about today, because we're talking about the beginning of Godsend. If you've had a little bit before, a little bit of the tutorials about how the convocation works, we're going to talk a little bit about how ladies are in the convocation and how they're different from their underlings, just the normal everyday woman of the convocation. All right. Talked a little bit about the fact that ladies don't have sons. Well, of course they do. It's a biological fact. I'm sure if there was some way that they could biologically control eggs and sperm so that they could make sure that all ladies, women of a certain caste, could only have daughters, they would have done it. But they can't because they don't really have the technology. We still don't. There's some people working on it, though. I've heard that. Not strictly speaking about trying to make sure all conceived children are women. It's actually the other way. There's some places, especially in Muslim countries, where their concentration is by and large upon making sure that children are more men, because men are more valued than women are. Women are treated very poorly over there, often. Okay, so how do they do this? There's a whole system. Women have babies. They're attended to by a matron. A matron is a lady of a higher status. You'll tend to have one matron, and you'll tend to have the ladies that answer to her. You know, if you were to think of it in the military way, there's a bunch of privates, and then there's a sergeant who's kind of a line officer. There are matrons, and they're mostly line officers. Now, they don't make a distinction of the rank of matron that you are. It's just known that for any given group of ladies, there's going to be a matron over them. And then there's matrons of matrons of matrons of matrons that are over those until you finally reach the queen, who is the matron over everyone. She's the high matron. I've almost thought at times that it might be good to go ahead and just call her the High Matron instead of the Queen, but I thought that would be pushing a little too far. I think it's good to have some terms that have some meaning in our world, not to make everything so foreign that it must be explained. You know, it's good to have a Queen. Queens, you have a picture. There's not much of a nudge to say, okay, the world's ruled by a Queen, and she runs things. So anyway, all right. There are secrets. The queen holds all the secrets. She knows everything. She must be totally... I can't think of a way there can be a queen who keeps all this running that isn't just completely stark raving evil, that it hasn't given herself so much over to power and gain and being in control that she has to be totally willing to do every single thing that's required to keep this culture going, which is at its very root very, very evil. She has to be willing to do all that. So almost she has to be evil herself. To those whom she trusts, to those whom she wants to have greater control, she gives secrets of how the world works. One of these secrets is the question of this whole breeding thing for ladies, how one makes a lady. There is a how one is demoted from being a lady. These women are I'm not going to say they're constantly pregnant, but they need to have children. There's a little dirty secret. There's a certain class among the convocation that's called breeders. And by and large, they're honored and respected. They are vaunted as being the most important people. I want to use terms that make it feel good. They are relieved of their duties of having to be leaders, having to take upon them the tortures having to deal with the rigors of ruling. Their lives are given over totally to children, to girls, to their daughters. They are wonderful because they raise the next breed. There's a train going by, that's why you hear that noise. The next generation of ladies, to a degree. Honestly, in a real sense, breeders are just one step above just your common everyplace woman, scrubby, disgusting woman that doesn't take a bath every day. One step above that is a breeder. But, you know, it's very important to make these people feel good, feel like they're the most important part of the whole system. They generate most of the babies that go on, both men and women, but you wouldn't hear that. What happens is the next step up from them, their matron, their biggest thing is they're mostly the midwife class. They go in and they take care of this baby. And you can think of it kind of in the old sense, like when a woman would go to the hospital, a woman would get whisked away to a woman's world. The potential dad, the expected father, would wait out in the waiting room to kind of hear what was happening. It's kind of like trying to listen to a football game. You get reports back a little bit, you'd pace, you'd wonder if what was going to happen, if it was going to be a boy or a girl, you know, all those things. It's kind of like that still in this culture, except that it's even a secret that's kept from the mother. She doesn't know what the baby is until the midwife chooses to reveal it to her. And that's kind of how the system works. The midwives are let in, only to a small degree, onto this little secret. That what happens is, with these midwives, is as soon as this child's born, it's immediately wrapped up before the midwife can even get a clear picture of what sex this child is. And it's bundled off to an even higher authority, a higher matron. A matron over the midwife who goes and says, and mostly what happens is, if it's a girl, they said, oh, it's a beautiful, healthy, wonderful girl. Take it back to her mother, and she gets to have joy. There's a wonderful party. Everything goes well. Everybody, you know, there's tons of ritual, of course, around all these things, because that's what makes everybody feel important. You get to be the center of attention. And that's what keeps all these things kind of running. Among this whole, in any situation, really, not just in the convocation, it's all these things. I think that's one reason why women have babies, is so other women can come and pat them and say, oh, this is wonderful, look how beautiful she or he is. And it's a great way to feel like you're the center of attention for a lot of people that maybe wouldn't pay attention to you otherwise. Well, that's what happens here. If you have a girl, if it's a boy, the story that's given and that gets passed back to you by the midwife is that it's a very sickly child. And it can either be a boy or a girl. Sometimes they'll do that with a girl too, especially if it's really true she is sickly. They'll take it into some kind of hospital sort of situation and nurse it and do all the things that are required to do, mostly independent of that mother, because the biggest thing about that breeding mom, one of the breeders, is once she's in a position to have enough strength to have another baby, that's what she does. She's immediately impregnated again. Now we're going to talk all about how that works, because that enters into this first part of God's sin very much as well. This whole thing about how do you decide what men breed which lady. Very, very interesting stuff. And it comes out in just a few short chapters at the beginning. You have to kind of get the whole sense for this. Whole sense of how this all works. Anyway, okay. You want to mix in some girls with this, because the story that goes back to mom from that midwife is, if it's a sickly girl or if it's a boy, you say, you know, it's a sickly child. It's a sickly girl. We're gonna have to just kind of wait and see what happens. See if it goes okay. So they take them into the experts, because any good culture that has a big control issue has a system for taking care of these things. It really doesn't involve you. Other people do it. Experts come in and they handle all this stuff for you. And so there are experts that take care of this. High matrons of high rank who make these determinations. I wouldn't even go as far as to say they're even medical. I don't think that's terribly important. They'll go in. They'll nurse this child. They'll make this thing happen. They might pull wet nurses from among the nobody women. They might cut their tongues out. They might, you know, there's always a good reason why you have stupid people. Why you have people that can't read, that can't write, that can't speak, that have problems. It's always important to have those, because they can't reveal what they see and what they hear. Because either they don't understand what's going on, which is the most important of all. Boy, if you can have a handicapped person, but that, you know, that lactates really well, you kind of keep that woman cranking. You know, you kind of keep her always wet. And her job is just to nurse babies almost constantly, and you don't really care anything else about her. If she doesn't have a brain or head, good, because then she won't be able to reveal what's really happening. And these kids are always getting shuffled around among these things according to what the convocation wants to have happen. Very managed, very socialistic. You know, there's something bigger than just you. You have your family, but your family is a managed thing. You know, if you're kind of a low caste woman, you're not going to be given to a degree. You're not going to be given the next queen. It's just not going to happen. Whoever they think, according to whatever criteria is used to figure out which little babies should be given all the perks and which ones should be kind of relegated to the role of a breeder or a nursemaid, you know, is kind of how it goes. It's a very managed society, very, I don't even know a word to attach to it that might even be workable. It reminds me of the Brave New World, 1984. It's more of an oligarchy. You know, everything's controlled. Everybody, the technology is here to grade everybody so we can make sure they're in the right place. So anyway, you have this whole situation set up. Okay, boys never come back. Boys get shuffled off. They get given to common women. The baby switching is rampant to the point to where people even expect it. These midwives are really kind of the controlling factor. The midwives, there's midwives among the common women. Women don't know who their babies are. They don't know what baby came out of their womb. Most of these women end up with a lot of boys, because girls are snatched up, and depending on how they're graded, they might get put into the family of a lady. and they'll be raised up as a lady. Nobody knows who their mother or their father is, even though there is a concept of a mother. There's most definitely mothers in this whole thing. There are no fathers, and we'll get into that in a few minutes. Boys are all shuffled off to the common women. That's how you can keep up that whole thing. You must be a common woman. Look at all these boys. And that's all you have. Boys come to common women. Girls come to ladies. To a degree. There can be some girls come to the common one. And they send them that way. It's actually meant to be that way. But they're going to be low-grade girls. Girls that are sickly. Girls that are maybe too big, brawny, that just don't meet the criteria of what a lady should be, they get shuffled off to the common women, too. Okay, that's how it works. If they say, well, your girl's sickly, if it isn't immediately obvious to that to whoever does the grading, that they can immediately just send it back to the mother almost immediately. I said, oh, it's a beautiful, bouncing baby girl, and she's in the pink of health. I don't know if they have the Apgar scale at this point. That's a possibility. Then the girl doesn't even leave her mother. It's immediately latched on. Everything's great. Ladies are breastfed by their mothers, by and large. That's just the way it is. Especially if they're determined to be of your same class. Because you need lots of breeders for Pete's sake. That's kind of the flow through. There's going to be thousands and thousands and thousands, maybe millions, of common women. Because you really don't need a whole lot of women at the top to keep this thing running. So you keep a whole lot of common women. They basically only are worried about their midwife, their matron, who can just serve as a midwife. And you don't even call them a matron because they're not a lady as such. Well, I guess they would be. Every lady has some number of women under her. They're not of noble birth, so obviously they will never be anything to be contented with. They tend to be your basic, for lack of a better word, drone class. They take care of all the work that men don't do. You know, if there's kitchen work to be done, your women will do it. A lady doesn't do that. A lady doesn't do kitchen work. Your women do that. But it's very vaunted, you know. It's very much more important than what the men do. The men come in and they do all the really gut work, you know, getting the fires going, keeping the fires going, doing the stupid stuff. Women do higher things, and ladies do the highest things of all. And it's all this straight thing. Let's talk a little bit about the actual story of God sent. Melisenda is the daughter of a breeder. Now you have to understand the system isn't perfect. You know, the only way this would ever actually work for a long time and take care of all the problems that such a managed society would have would be for there to be a perfect grading system. You would know exactly the brain capacity, the abilities of each class. Now there's tried and true methods of making a person feel good about where they are to the point where they don't desire anything else. And that works almost all the time. That's how our culture works. We all complain about our politicians, about how corrupt and evil and wicked they are. Funny thing about them, though, we keep voting for them to be our leaders. Why? Because that's our station. We vote for them as leaders. And their station is to be the leaders. We've accepted it. You know, we kind of look down our nose at them, that they're not, they don't do any work, they aren't people. That's okay. It's important that our social class, lower social class, has some pride in themselves. That's why they always say, we're so glad about the blue-collar workers of America. They keep this world going. And aren't they wonderful? Yay! And our leaders cheer us on about how wonderful it is to be the heart of America, yada, yada, yada. You actually have whole slogans. And that's, you know, I forget who says that. Who's the heartbeat of America, you know? And you'll have trucks that are blue-collar. You know, it may be Ford. I don't remember if it's Ford or Chevy. But that's what a blue-collar worker tends to drive, is whatever they say, this is the blue-collar vehicle. You know, the slimy people who just want to be, want to look like they're rough and tumble, they get, different kind of truck. Different kind of big truck with lots of power that sucks up gas like nobody's business. That's for the gentlemen farmers, the ones that want to feel like cowboys but really aren't. And you know, and we tend to grade ourselves that way. If you read Brave New World, you'll see it. The alphas, the betas, and the gammas, and everybody else, they see themselves as being the most important, that they fulfill such an important role. And the people who are above them, they don't work as hard. They don't have the capability of doing what, say, a gamma does. And that's the same way within this whole system. That's how any culture works, honestly. Michiana. Oh, we're going to have to stop now. I guess we're going to have to call this. This is how culture works. This is Jay Nemro. You've been listening to Quasi-Indefatigable Zenilith. You don't have to be content with your place in life, unless you want to be. And I'm not going to ever give anybody a hard time about not wanting to do that. If you want to be a cow, you can be a cow. You can do what you're told. If it makes you happy, it is easier. And I don't try to make people feel badly about taking the easy course. There's more available to you, and that's what this is all about. You need to... It's more is available if you'll just be willing to go after it and take it. And that's all I have to say, at least for this time. We'll see you again next time. Thank you for listening to Quasi-Indefatigable Zenilith. Don't be a cow!